If there was a pill I could give you that would make you immortal, how much would you pay for it?
Pastor Jonathan Fisk, author of the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month, Without Flesh.
Because you see, that's exactly what we have. And it's priceless, but it's also free. So why is it that nobody's coming to our churches to get this immortality? I mean, we can say that it's all their fault, or maybe there's something about it that we've forgotten.
Learn more and purchase Without Flesh at issuesetc.org.
I cannot find any compatibility between the way this president conducts himself and anything that I find in Scripture.
Do the critics of religious conservatives understand the metaphysical worldview that religious conservatives live with? And I think they either do not or they are unwilling to learn. And so I think there's also a question of how many religious conservatives do you know?
Because they don't want boys to show their feelings. They want boys to show only feelings that make them weak.
Do not picture the joy of eternal life as static, as though it doesn't grow. Because throughout eternity, you get to grow in your union with Him.
Michigan snowbirds enjoy listening to Issues, Etc. while surf fishing in Florida. Oh, gotta go. Fish on.
Jesus' feeding of the 5,000 is recorded in all four New Testament Gospels. In one version of this story, Jesus actually just tells his disciples when they come to him, saying, these people are hungry, we can't just send them away. He says, well, you give them something to eat. In John's telling of the story, Jesus is a little more subtle. He asks one of his disciples, how are we going to feed all these people? And John tells us he said this to test him, for he knew what he would already do. So what is Jesus doing, testing his disciples before he performs one of his most important miracles, the feeding of the 5,000? Greetings and welcome to Issues, Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be teaching a Sunday school lesson on Jesus feeding the 5,000 in John chapter 6. Pastor Tom Baker will join us. Nick Reeves, legal counsel for the Beckett Fund for Religious Liberty, will be alongside next to talk about a Supreme Court religious liberty case involving Catholic social services and foster care. Brian Westbrook joins us to talk about abortion sidewalk counseling. He's executive director of Coalition for Life. You might have heard about them. They're outside the abortion facilities all through their business hours. They are counseling. They are stopping people in their cars. They are redirecting the women who go into abortion facilities. Wesley Smith will be with us. We'll discuss three issues: non-human rights in New York, transhumanism, and religious persecution in China. Joining us to talk about Jesus feeding the 5,000 as we teach a Sunday school lesson, Pastor Tom Baker, host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. For almost 30 years, he met monthly to prepare his Sunday school teachers for the classroom. Tom, welcome back.
Thank you.
In one form or another, the telling of this miracle, but especially in John's Gospel, begins with Jesus kind of handing the ball to his disciples as to what they're going to do to feed all these people. But John tells us that he did this to test them. Why would he do that?
That is a more interesting question than most people realize. When you take a look at the word for test, it's the same word used in James 1:13. Let me read part of that. It says, let no one say when he is tested, I am being tested by God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. And it's the same Greek word. Well, how do we figure this one out? Because John is very clear in chapter 6, verse 6, that when he saw the large crowd, Jesus said to Philip, where are we to buy bread so that these people may eat? And it says he said this to test him, which is the same Greek word that God says in James that he never tests anyone. Now, how do we reconcile that? And what was the purpose of testing James? Well, as in English, words can have different meanings depending on their context. And the word test can be used in one of two ways. On the one hand, it can be used as the devil tested Jesus in the wilderness, tempted him to do evil. But James says God never does that. So what's this same word being used to test Philip? Well, the word test also can have the meaning to strengthen someone's understanding of a person. For example, I may say to one of my children, yeah, we're going to go to McDonald's tomorrow. It's Saturday. We'll be there at 10 o'clock. And I'm testing them to see whether or not they're going to believe me. There's no temptation there that they're not going to go to McDonald's, but they may look at me and says, oh, we don't really believe you're going to take us because you hardly ever take us to McDonald's. No. Children, depending on their age, they would say, oh, we're looking forward to that. And therefore, the testing of them, telling them what is about to happen, is really a way of strengthening your relationship with the children. And that's precisely what Jesus is doing here with Philip. In fact, the verse 6 says, he said this to test him, for he himself knew, that's Jesus, knew what he would do. Jesus does that a number of times. I remember when Lazarus was ill and Jesus said, well, we need to go visit him. We'll leave in 3 days. And they couldn't understand why he was going to wait so long. But he was waiting because he knew he would die. He knew he would raise Lazarus from the dead. And this was a test as to whether or not the disciples would abide by his words. In fact, one of them even said, okay, we'll go with you, even though it might mean that we're going to be killed by those who are against us. So a lot of times we test people to see if they really have a right relationship with us, if they really trust us. And in this case, Philip answers him, 200 denarii would not buy enough bread for each of them to get a little. Now, this miracle is found in 4 Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And Enduring Faith, which is the CPH lesson material, does something that a lot of people don't realize, that one of the gospel writers, yes, he says 5,000, but then he adds on, besides women and children. And the CPH material said there really could have been 15 to 20,000 people listening to Jesus because he was a well-known demon exorciser, a healer, and many people appreciated the message because he was so friendly and loving towards individuals. So Jesus knew that he would be multiplying fish and bread, but he still wanted to test the disciples. What they should have said, it's kind of reminding them they were tested on the boat. The boat is sinking. Jesus is asleep. They failed their test because they went to Jesus, woke him up, and they said to Jesus, don't you care that we are going to perish? See, they failed the test. They should have woke him up and say, Jesus, look at what's going on around us. We're waiting to see how you're going to help us as you have helped so many people. That would have been a successful test. Well, finally, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, says to him, there is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But then even Andrew misses the test. But what are they for so many? Hey, have they forgotten that the person in front of them is God who delivered Israel in the wilderness by providing them with sufficient manna? And that manna, by the way, stopped coming down from heaven when they reached the land of Canaan and entered into it. And he also gave them water from a rock. He also gave them birds for flesh that they could eat. So I can only imagine Andrew handing 5 barley loaves and 2 fish to Jesus and asking, but what are they for so many? Jesus says, have the people sit down. And there was much grass in the place. Kind of reminds you of shepherds. They don't take the sheep to non-grassy locations because that's what the sheep eat. And so we see Jesus as a shepherd telling the people to sit down. They did. And when the men sat down, there were about 5,000 in number. And another gospel writer says, not counting the women and children. So Jesus takes the loaves. Remember, there were not that many loaves. There were only 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. And he blesses them. And guess what? They were able to eat as much of the loaves and the fish as they wanted. And when they had eaten their fill, he told his disciples, gather up the leftover fragments that nothing may be lost. And when they gathered them up, guess what? 12 baskets of fragments from the 5 barley loaves were left by those who had eaten. Now, if that doesn't remind you of the wilderness and the 12 tribes, I don't know what would. But, I mean, there's nothing in the Bible that the Holy Spirit moves the people to understand, but does not have a connection to Jesus Christ. And so the people saw the sign, and the word sign there is miracle. And they said, this is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world. When we get back from the break, though, we're going to explain that they really had a false view of the prophet, and Jesus even mentions it later on.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson on Jesus feeding the 5,000 in John chapter 6. He's host of a radio show called Law and Gospel, and for almost 30 years, he met monthly to prepare his Sunday school teachers for the classroom. Stay tuned.
Who was it, everybody?
It was Jesus.
It was Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we'll study My Kingdom is Not of This World. Behold the man! We have no king but Caesar. It is finished, and not one of his bones will be broken. Join me, Pastor Will Whedon, as we continue our walk through St. John's Gospel on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily verse-by-verse Bible study on demand at thewordendures.org and on the Lutheran Public Radio app.
Have you ever wondered if your investments could do more? I mean, a whole lot more? This is Rahema Kavuga, Synod Relations Manager of Lutheran Church Extension Fund. When you invest with us, you not only earn a competitive interest rate, but your investment goes to strengthen Lutheran Church Missouri Synod church workers, congregations, schools, and organizations through low-cost loans and services. To learn more, visit lcef.org/invest101.
More topics, more guests, more Jesus. You're listening to Issues Etc.
It is the greatest adventure you could ever possibly imagine. It's demanding, it's hard, it's challenging, and what a blessing it is.
Dr. Larry Rast, president of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, on why a man should consider the vocation of pastor.
And it is an incredible blessing to be honored with the opportunity to work with these incredible young men and older men as well, who are committing themselves to the proclamation of God's word, the right distinction of law and gospel, and to take the good news of Jesus Christ into all the world.
You can find out more about studying for the pastoral ministry at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, at ctsfw.edu or call 1-800-481-2155. Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, forming servants in Jesus Christ who teach the faithful, reach the lost, and care for all.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker on Jesus feeding the 5,000 in John chapter 6. Pastor Baker, you said that they proclaim him to be the prophet that is coming into the world after they have all eaten and had their fill, but they don't understand what kind of a prophet he is. What do you mean by that?
Judaism was a new religion, we think came about around the time of the Babylonian captivity. The temple was destroyed. Priests didn't have much work, and so rabbis took over and they preached the law. And the Pharisees really believed that the Messiah would be coming to get rid of the Romans as well as to restore Israel to its former grandeur. So when they saw this miracle and they say, this indeed the prophet who is to come into the world, the next verse helps us to understand how Jesus recognize what they were saying. Verse 15 of John 6, perceiving then that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, Jesus withdrew again to the mountain by himself. Now, what follows after this is Jesus walking on the water, but there's another section that really needs to be told by the Sunday school teachers to the children, because it really helps us to understand the purpose of the miracle. And it begins in verse 22, that Jesus had gone away alone, and when the crowd saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum seeking Jesus. And they found him on the other side of the sea. Rabbi, when did you come here? Well, Jesus doesn't answer that question. But verse 26 is so important. Truly, truly, and every time Jesus starts with truly, truly, or verily, verily, or amen, amen, this is really important from his point of view. I say to you, so remember, reminds us of the transfiguration. Listen to Jesus. I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Now, that's a really confusing verse, because who's going to deny that they saw the sign? Because the word sign here in the original also can refer and is used for the word miracle. In fact, the King James says, you seek me not because you saw the miracles. But the NAS, the NIV, and the New King James all use the word signs. Now, they saw the sign. They ate of the sign. They were filled with bread and fish. What does Jesus say that they didn't see the signs? Well, here again, that word has different meanings depending on the context. Sometimes it just means a miracle. And so we can say Jesus' healing of the blind or the deaf or the lame or the mute, that those were miracles, those were signs. But here he says, you saw the miracle, but you missed the sign. It's kind of like recently I had to renew my driver's license, and you have to look through a glass kind of thing and figure out what signs mean. Like I could figure out the red light, I could figure out a stop sign and things like that. But there was one sign It had a kind of a curvature going across what appeared to be a road, and I couldn't figure out what it was. Fortunately, you can get one wrong. And I didn't know what it meant. Similarly, these people saw the sign, but they didn't know what it meant. They thought it meant that he had come to become an earthly king, and therefore they wanted to restore him as king and restore Israel to its former grandeur. When Jesus says the word sign here, he's really referring to what it points to. He uses that kind of language when the disciples of John the Baptizer come to him, say, are you the one we're looking for, or is there someone else? And he says, go tell John, and then he quotes the Old Testament from Isaiah and elsewhere. The blind see, the deaf hear, the mute speak, the lame walk, the dead are raised. Now, those are miracles, but Jesus is using them to show that they are signs that he is the true Messiah. He doesn't say, yeah, I'm the Christ, and suddenly go brilliant in front of them like he does on the Mount of Transfiguration. No, he gives them items that he had done, which had been prophesied in the Old Testament, that this would be the sign of the Messiah. So, as I said earlier, when he fed the 5,000, who would not have thought about Israel in the wilderness receiving manna from God? Well, they didn't, and they kind of skipped over his true purpose in life and saw it instead, wow, this is a way in which we can restore Israel. It's kind of like some churches, they'll baptize infants, but they don't believe it's a sacrament. They missed the sign that baptism of infants is pointed to, namely, as Peter says in the Pentecost sermon, that those who are baptized receive the gift of the forgiveness of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's why it's a sacrament, a holy item from God. And the same with the Lord's Supper. There are actually people who believe that Jesus didn't mean what he said when he said, this is my body, this is my blood. So what he's referring to, yes, we just see a morsel of bread, a sip of wine, but they are signs that through receiving them, we are receiving the blessings of his crucifixion and his resurrection, the forgiveness of sins, the robe of righteousness. And so people are wondering, well then, how can we possibly be saved? And this is the last point I want to make here. They said to him, this is verse 28 of John 6. Then they said to him, what must we do to be doing the works of God? Now, they were looking for maybe a new set of commandments or something. Listen what Jesus answers them in verse 29. This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. So first of all, they're asking what work can they do? And Jesus, wait a minute, no, this is a work of God. And as our third article of the Apostles' Creed shows, nobody can come to faith except by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is the work of God who gives us faith. And what is that faith for? That you may believe in him, namely, have faith and trust in the gospel promises of Jesus, whom God the Father has sent. So there's a lot to get across to the Sunday school children, but the main point is that the miracles, yes, they can be referred to as signs, but the point that the Sunday school teacher wants to get across, as Enduring Faith does very well, is what does the sign refer to? It's like policeman stops me. I'd come to a stop sign and gone through it. He says, "Didn't you see that stop sign?" "Oh, yeah, I saw it." "Didn't you see what it said?" "Oh, yeah, it said stop." And then he says, "Well, why didn't you stop?" "Oh, that's the command I have to obey. I thought it was just a sign with the word stop on it." That's how they looked at the feeding of the 5,000. A miracle that showed Jesus to be an earthly king, when instead it was a sign to show that he is the Messiah, the promised one, the Savior, the Christ, the Son of God.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel for almost 30 years. He met monthly to prepare his Sunday school teachers for the classroom. Tom, thank you very much.
And thank you.
You heard Tom mention this Sunday school curriculum called Enduring Faith. It's from Concordia Publishing House. It is Christ-centered and cross-focused. It's for children of all ages. Find out more at our website, issuesetc.org. You'll find a link on the Talk on Demand archives page. Or call Concordia Publishing House and ask for a free sample of Enduring Faith. 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. Nick Reeves joins us on the other side of the break, legal counsel for the Beckett Fund for Religious Liberty. The Supreme Court just yesterday announced that they would hear a case involving Catholic Social Services and foster care, a religious liberty case. We'll talk about it next.
If there was a pill I could give you that would make you immortal, how much would you pay for it?
Pastor Jonathan Fisk, author of the Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Without Flesh.
Because you see, that's exactly what we have. And it's priceless, but it's also free. So why is it that nobody's coming to our churches to get this immortality? I mean, we can say that it's all their fault, or maybe there's something about it that we've forgotten.
Learn more and purchase Without Flesh at issuesetc.org.
Greetings in Christ, and thank you for listening to Issues Etc. If you ever find yourself visiting the Smoky Mountains in East Tennessee, please join us here at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Sevierville. We see it as a small part of our service to the church to provide sound liturgical worship opportunities for vacationing Lutherans to our area. For worship times and directions, please visit our website at splctn.com. That's splctn.com.
Concordia University Chicago is a distinctive, comprehensive university of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We're committed to increasing LCMS faculty and staff members. Hi, this is Dr. Russell Dawn, president of Concordia University Chicago. If you're a member of our Lutheran Church Missouri Synod congregation, please consider joining our staff. And if you have a terminal degree, please consider joining our faculty. Send us an email at human.resources@cuchicago.com. Edu.
Solid, serious, substantive. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Remember when education was about the fundamental skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic, and about reading great literature and studying history to give our kids a model for what it is to be a good person? Memoria Press's classical Christian curriculum offers that very model for your homeschool. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR20. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Do you know any military veterans in your church or community? Do you have a passion to support and reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Then Operation Barnabas is for you. Called by Christ's love, Operation Barnabas engages, empowers, and equips LCMS faith communities to provide hope, healing, and support to military-connected persons living in their community. Operation Barnabas is a program of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. Find out more at lcms.org/armedforces.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.